Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017, and get all the action. Whether that's two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Of course, Barley Room show going on today. I invite you to come out. Show actually officially starts at 9, so it's right at the end of this show. Goes till 2. Come out and enjoy a beverage, some food, just, you know, kick back, check out all the cool cars. Got some race cars and everything out here. But we still got to talk some NASCAR. And so joining the show now is Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts. How you doing this morning, Dom?
Hey, good morning, David. Pretty good, man. Good to join you in studio.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's always great to have you in. And, of course, we got to talk some NASCAR. A lot of big stories that are going on. But first, let's talk a little bit about that Richmond race. I thought it was a pretty good race. Kenseth looked, I mean, super strong and then kind of fell back. Thought maybe Kyle Larson was going to get another victory, but Joey Logano somehow ends up pulling that thing out. What were some of your thoughts from that race in Richmond?
Well, I'll look at how the Penske team just dominated that second half of the race in the third segment, and Logano leading the last 25 laps, Kozlowski leading over 100. It seemed like that first half of the race, you had Matt Kenseth kind of just push out and push away. Had a 3-second lead at one of the segments at the end of that. But I look at some of the other headlines across that race week and two. How about Eric Almirola? Here's a guy who finished top five in the Daytona 500. Eric Almirola finishing top five in the 500. He's finished lead lap in all but two races after that, and he came away with a ninth place finish on Sunday. And I thought that was amazing for what that team's doing. Richard Petty Motorsports singling back to a one-car operation this year with Brian Scott's departure and retirement. So for that team to be behind, and we talked to him after Phoenix, they knew they were behind the eight ball on the eight curve. And here's a guy who's just about 10 points, 10 markers out of the Chase cut line at this point.
Yeah, no, that's a good story. What's going on with Ricky Stenhouse? I mean, because even look at Trevor Bayne. Trevor Bayne right now is in the top 16. But Stenhouse, I mean, there's something about when he pushed Kyle Busch out of the way to stay on the lead lap. I thought that was a sign that this guy came to play this year. Canassi is a real deal, too. I mean, when you look at how strong McMurray was, how well he finished. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But the other storyline is not necessarily a great storyline from Richmond, but it's the whole Jimmy Johnson and Junior contact. I mean, what is your thoughts with that? I mean, how uncomfortable is that after the race?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has had some pretty rough hits across his career, but when I saw him come out of turn two like that and get the hit from Johnson, not only did that hurt, I'm sure, inside the race car, that had to hurt of his ego a little bit, too. To hit your teammate like that coming off the corner and be bounced back and forth, that hurts your pride a little bit, especially after announcing your retirement. First thing you don't want to do on the racetrack is run into your teammate.
Absolutely. Definitely don't want to do that. Now, hopefully, Talladega might be different. I mean, of course, Junior goes in there with six victories, tied with Gordon for the second most. Dale Sr., of course, with 10. Got quite a record that 12 top 5, 16 top 10s, a 92 driver rating. Pretty good. Does Dale Jr. need to win at Talladega this weekend?
I think if he wants to make the chase, it's going to have to happen this weekend. We've talked about this too back and forth, how Dale Earnhardt Jr. has not looked the same since all the concussion issues have come, even before 2016, and he was kind of falling out of the chase cut line before having to be sidelined for that last half of the season. But how does a driver who has 10 top fives across the last 4 or 5 years, just the last couple of years, he hasn't managed 5 top 5 finishes. And here's a guy sitting 24th in points. We were in attendance. Phoenix was that last win in 2015. Was that his last career win?
Well, it might be. I would rather him win this Talladega race and win the next Talladega race. You know, because, of course, if he doesn't make the chase and he wins that race, it would be great for him, you know, kind of like with a walk-off. But I'd really like to see him with a chance to be in that Final Four, kind of like Jeff Gordon did, which is the ultimate walk-off to turn around and walk back for eight races last year. So that was pretty amazing. But the question's got to be, let's say he doesn't get a victory this year. He ends the season with 26 victories, which, of course, Joey Logano has 26 victories, regardless of how you look at what the last race where, you know, Logano's now got a penalty, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. But is that, with two Daytona 500s, does that get him into the Hall of Fame?
Well, I saw a fan make an argument on social media, and I thought it was spot on. The Hall of Fame, famous.
Right.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., the most popular driver over 15 times consecutive since 2003. There's no question this man's going to get in when his eligibility comes up. But as far as the statistics, when you look at some of the other drivers that have gotten in the Hall of Fame, two Xfinity championships are going to do that for Jr. And I don't think he needs a Cup championship to get in there. But this is somebody with 26 career wins, 9 with Hendrick Motorsports over the last 8 seasons. I think you can make a safe bet that Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be there. But the fans, the media, we all know there's a lot more pressure on him because his name is Dale Jr. Would we be saying the same if his name is Gregory Earnhardt?
Good point. All the other drivers that have 26 victories or more, you know, that aren't currently racing are all in the Hall of Fame or have not been on the ballot yet. So it's pretty amazing. I guess the bigger question might be, can he win? Is he capable of getting a win at somewhere along the way for the remainder of this season?
The place I look at, and you look at where he swept in 2014, it wasn't a place like Talladega or Bristol, which is in his wheelhouse. He won a track he's never won, and that was twice at Pocono Raceway. Swept in 14, won a race there in 15, finished second there. That was his best finish in 2016. I think if we see Dale Earnhardt Jr. win a race not at Talladega or Daytona this year, it could come at the 2.5-mile racetrack out there in Long Pond.
Is he by chance thinking about the retirement, you know, comes with some health issues, another hit with his teammate last, you know, weekend. Is there anything maybe in his head? I mean, I'm thinking about Days of Thunder and Cole Trickle, you know, right now. Would there be a psychological issue why he doesn't necessarily win this season?
I think that could play an effect to it. But one thing I did hear Dale Earnhardt Jr. say over the last couple of weeks is that unlike 2 or 3 years ago, he wakes up at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning at the racetrack, and he's excited to get back in that race car. He used to dread going out for practice or happy hour, being out there in the 90-degree heat, practicing in the midday. But I think because he knows the time is limited now, I think he's a lot more relaxed, if that makes sense. I think he is looking more forward just for a chance to be back in the race car, because this is something he was considering at the end of 2016, was to step away. So, in essence, really, the race fans are lucky to get another season, another full-time season with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, and the other luck is that he's not going far. His Xfinity team has been phenomenal. We talk about the Hall of Fame and the famous. I mean, 14, probably going to be 15 consecutive years of the most popular driver. In Xfinity, most popular drivers have all come from JR Motorsports in the last couple of years. So I don't think that's a problem. Who will take over as the fan favorite? Are we going to talk about everybody's going to jump over to Chase Elliott, or are we going to have some pushback? Joey Logano's name has actually come up. Of course, Joey Logano is almost the most hated man in NASCAR too, right next to bad Brad Keselowski. I mean, what's your thoughts on maybe the future of the next most famous driver?
It's interesting. They could just eliminate the car altogether and scale back to a 3-car operation, or they could put someone in there who's been in that car before, like an Alex Bowman, who filled in for 10 races last year. You could even see William Byron, I think, potentially move up. Brad Keselowski's name has also been thrown out there. His contract is up at the end of the 2017 season with Penske. So I don't know. And that's a driver who ran with Hendrick part-time in 2008 and 2009, was kind of in the wings to take over for Mark Martin, but with Martin staying long, it didn't happen, and Keselowski had to find somewhere else to run. But I think really any possibility is a chance right now. We'll see what happens with that car. And I would imagine they're not in a rush to do so. Do you think we hear an announcement soon?
I don't think there needs to be an announcement soon. And as far as William Byron is concerned, I think another year would really help him. And that might be a little quick. If you want to throw a total conspiracy theory out, I mean, Carl Edwards, left, but then he showed up, with his driver helmet, and his suit and everything. So you got to kind of wonder what that was all about. Anyway, okay, so Joey Logano wins the race, and then now, of course, there's a penalty that strips him of the victory as far as making the playoffs. Lost 25 points. Todd Gordon suspended for two races. A paltry $50,000 fine. Exactly. Of course, Todd Gordon probably not going to be on the box in Talladega. What are your thoughts? I mean, of course, Joey Logano. I mean, all over social media, everybody was so upset, about the, he's such a cheater. He turns in. He makes Kyle drive into that box. Kyle has to go to the back of the race. Rules are rules, right? Rules are rules. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on the impact of this this penalty for Logano?
I think they'll be just fine, and because I look at Talladega this upcoming week, who's the team that's won the last three Talladega races? That'd be Team Penske.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I look at the dominance at the Super Speedway races, it's kind of like 10, 12 years ago when DEI won six straight races between Michael Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt Jr. And I don't think it's going to matter who's on top of that pit box on Sunday. I think it's going to matter if we're going to see those Fords run up front. Ford has won the last three and the last four out of five at Talladega. Team Penske has been strong. You can not count out the Roush cars. Trevor Bayne's a Daytona 500 winner. Ricky Stenhouse has run well at Talladega in the past. And you look at the front row guys. David and Goliath story from 2013 with David Gilliland and David Reagan. So I think they're going to be just fine, and I think the Ford camp altogether will be fine. It'll be interesting to see if Ford can go 4-for-4.
So, this just popped in my head right now. With Toyota, of course, winning, and Toyota winning the Daytona 500 when we were out there with Truex, and the closest finish with Truex and Hamlin. Did Ford at that juncture, did Ford just say, hey, how are we letting Toyota do this? This is an American sport. What's your thoughts on kind of the Ford and Chevy versus Toyota?
Well, I see a lot of fans complain about that, how it's an American sport, and why is a foreign manufacturer stepping into the ring? But maybe if that's the motivation for Ford, it's paid off this year. They have the most wins. They're leading the Manufacturers' Championship, and that's something they haven't won since 2002.
And they own the naming rights to the last race of the season.
Absolutely, and a Ford hasn't won that since 2008 with Carl Edwards.
Well, look at that. See, I always have Dom coming with the stats. But, hey, so we got a whole lot more coming up in the New Mexico Motorsports Report, but we do invite you to come out to the Barley Room. Going to be out there till 2 o'clock. Hopefully the balloon's going to inflate a little bit later, and of course we'll be talking to Mike Potato here in just a minute about that. But a lot of neat cars that you can come out and see. You're going to have a bunch of race cars here today. But you've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Trusting your equipment to perform when you need it is crucial. Rush Truck Center has one of the largest inventories of heavy and medium-duty trucks in New Mexico, and now in Farmington, too. Combined with the largest mobile service fleet, Rush Truck Center is your one-stop shop for sales, parts, and service. Rush Truck Center, the regional premier Peterbilt dealer, is the total solutions provider for all makes and models. Rush Truck Center, west of Coors on Hanover, just two blocks south of I-40, 800-357-6643. RushAlbuquerque.com.
Have you or someone you love been seriously injured? You need an experienced attorney. There is no substitute for experience. We at the law office of Brian K. Branch have been helping people just like you for over 30 years, recovering tens of millions of dollars for their clients. We will help you understand and know your rights. Just call 717-2626 for a free consultation. At the law office of Brian K. Branch, we understand there is the easy way to do things and the right way to do things. When you have been seriously injured, you need someone in your corner who knows how to and does things the right way. That's how we at the law office of Brian K. Branch have represented our clients for over 30 years. Call us today for a free consultation at 717-2626. We will be right by your side when you need us, fighting for you every step of the way and doing things the right way. Call the law office of Brian K. Branch today at 717-2626.
From downtown to midtown, uptown, and all around town, Maddox Management locates retail and commercial space or land to build on as individual as you are. Locally owned and operated, Maddox Management is a full-service property management company and brokerage. They rent and manage residential rentals, single-family homes, multifamily properties, townhomes, condos, lofts, and commercial properties. Maddox Management, helping individuals, families, and businesses for more than 30 years. 515 Central, just west of I-25, or call today, 242-0989. MaddoxMGMT.com.
Sheila and Walter Wooten retired from California to a ranch in Pine Hill, New Mexico. After years of severe pain, Sheila was ready for a new knee, but she was anxious about surgery in a new community. Our Total Joint team was ready to help. When she left the hospital, she still needed care, and since the ranch was over 3 hours away, we found a local hotel and sent physical therapists to her room. Soon, Sheila was cleared for home, ready to embrace life on the ranch.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
The best new Mexican food is right here at El Bruno's. El Bruno's, for over 40 years, voted best of the city chili con queso and a top 10 restaurant in Albuquerque. Did I mention the best margaritas around? It's El Bruno's Restaurant and Cantina, 4th and Paseo. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7, the team. And, of course, you know, the Barley Room Car Show is going on today. And joining us now is Mike Furtado. He's the owner of the Coco Bird Balloon. How are you doing this morning, man?
Good morning, David. Beautiful day.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that the weather holds and, you know, the wind doesn't come up so we can get it inflated. But tell us a little bit about the balloon and how you got into ballooning.
Well, I used to balloon back in the late 70s, so I'm kind of aging myself. And then I started racing dirt track. Well, ballooning was somebody else's game and the dirt track game was mine. So I kind of parted ways with the ballooning community and still have a lot of friends that were back then that are still now. And, you know, with age, the racing just wasn't it for me anymore. So, you know, daughter grew up, moved on, got married and we decided to try something different. And I started hanging out with a coworker that was a balloonist and I crewed for him for a couple of years. And then last January, a year ago, January, he called me up and said, "Hey, I want to take a ride over to Sandias tomorrow morning. Can you help me crew?" And I said, "Only if I can go with you." So that was the adrenaline day that pulled the trigger for me to go get a balloon. I flew over the mountain with him. The adrenaline rush was just like the main event. It was, took me a couple, 3 hours to get off of after the race or after the flight. And it was, you know, bring it on. Let's go find a balloon and start my training to become a pilot. So I got my pilot certificate and private pilot certificate a year ago. And right now I'm in the process of trying to get my commercial pilot certificate so I can move on to doing paid rides and doing ride balloons and commercial balloons and in the works with a few things around town here with some of your local sponsors that hopefully can work out and I'll be flying commercially and hopefully I can make a living at it. That'd be awesome.
That's fantastic. And you know what's so cool about, I mean, living in Albuquerque, of course, you know, kind of the epicenter of ballooning. It's like, you know, having the Daytona track right in your backyard, you know, one of the best tracks. And with the box, you know, it really lends the ability to balloon year round. And that probably had a lot to do with your decision because, of course, traveling with racing, the traveling is really difficult. But you don't have to travel. You've got the box right here.
No, I could fly on any given morning, and that's the glory of it, is it's my game to do when I want versus racing the dirt track or the drag strip. You got to wait for scheduled events. So that's one big plus. But probably the biggest positive for me is the friendship that comes out of ballooning is so similar to the friendships in racing. They parallel each other to no end. And believe it or not, people are going to probably think I'm crazy, but the adrenaline rush that comes off of a flight is very, very similar to coming off of a main event run. You know, there'd be nights that I'd run a main event at midnight, and I wouldn't be ready to go to bed till 3-4 in the morning because the adrenaline was pumping so fast and so high. So believe it or not, you all think I'm crazy, but a good balloon ride or a high-stress balloon ride will get that adrenaline running and do the same exact thing. So.
Well, that
just move from one to the other.
That's what we were talking about earlier, was I had mentioned that I thought that they were like polar opposites. And you corrected me. I thought from all the noise and the dirt and, you know, the grease, to up in a balloon floating and being light. And you made that comparison. I think that that's absolutely amazing and totally explains why you're doing it. Because I know you're an adrenaline junkie. You know, whether it's going to a Lobo game or, you know, I mean, in your balloon or behind the wheel of the car or even what an experience. What was it like to have an experience of being at the Indy 500 and being kind of a part of a Guthrie's crew there when he was making a run?
Now we're comparing a lot of work.
Right.
A lot of work to the adrenaline that comes with it. But,
right.
Yeah, it was the first year at Indy in 96. I got to do the signboard for Jim's teammate, and I was out on the island, and they don't even do that anymore. The risk and the cars coming at you off of turn four, that was definitely something that you put in your memory banks as, you know, wow, I got to do that. And then being Jim's tire engineer for a couple of years behind the wall, a lot of work, but man, you couldn't wait to be there. And, you know, it just, there's so many things that I've got to do in life that I'm so happy with. And now the balloon is my next passion, and it's going to be awesome if I could roll that into a career. You know, I've been in construction for almost 40 years, and it's time for something different for me mentally and physically, and you know, hopefully ballooning could be it, and time will tell. So.
Well, and I think so. And so once you get that all together, I'll get you back on the show, and we'll definitely let people know that they can go get a ride in a balloon too. One other thing I wanted to talk to you briefly about, one thing you and I both share is we've both been announcers at events. How much adrenaline and excitement do you get being an announcer and actually participating in basically making a mental picture for the people that are watching it?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I miss it, actually. I do. And just because of time restraints and the management changes out at the track, I haven't been back out there. But I miss, you know, I was the one at Hollywood Hills Speedway on the remote mic standing in front of 10,000 people that told them we had to cancel the Roll of Outlaws show that night.
Oh, wow.
And you know, you're sitting there shaking going, God, these people are really so mad at me. And I'm like, but what a rush to stand in front of 10,000
yeah.
people and being on a microphone. And so, you know, you had the good and the bad in that situation. But I always loved being in front of a crowd and announcing and trying to pump them up and get that excitement flowing and be behind the microphone on the start of a main event and be pumping it up and coming around for the green flag and having the people on their feet and having them excited, ready to see the start of the race. And it's, I miss it. I miss that a lot. But, hey, all, everything changes, time changes,
yep.
Life changes, and new and exciting things. And right now, you know, I'd like to invite everybody to come out. And if the weather holds out, we'll keep the balloon up, and, you know, kids can climb in the basket with me. I've got trading cards for them, and they can come see all these beautiful cars up here. And, you know, time, it, you know, the only thing about the ballooning is it's all weather dependent.
So yeah.
if we can get it stood up here and keep it up, I'll keep it up as long as I can until the winds pick up. There again, I became a meteorologist.
Right.
By learning ballooning.
Yeah, another thing, and we'll leave you to call in Bob's show to talk Lobos. If people want to come out and talk Lobos, I mean, you're always a good person to talk with on that. But hey, we really, really appreciate you joining the show this morning. Invite everybody to come out and meet Mike and meet the other gang that's here, Robert and everybody that's here, and come out and enjoy the barley room with us.
Good deal. Appreciate your time.
Awesome. That's Mike Pertetto. He is the pilot of the Cocoa Bird balloon that hopefully will be inflating here in a little while, so you can come out and check it out. But we've got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been the home for Go Fast Parts, giving you the edge on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Got auto plumbing problems? They have all the hoses and fittings you need. Yearwood is also the home for the car capsule. Yearwood Performance, New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop. Now, for a limited time, Yearwood is open Sundays on the west side, 9674 Eagle Ranch Road. Buy local, save time and money. Yearwoodperformance.com.
Napa Know-How. Any car brave enough to withstand a decade's worth of multi-state family voyages is worth treating to some quality parts and Napa know-how. Coolant for the Death Valley trip, wiper blades for the Pacific Northwest, air fresheners for the Southwest chili cook-off. Yeah, with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your road warrior running longer, stronger, for many more vacations to come. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
Quick and nimble, these are the hallmarks of Jaguar performance. But last year, we outpaced our competition on a completely different level because Jaguar was the fastest growing automotive brand in the United States. This year, we're ready to start where we left off with a thrilling selection of vehicles, including the full Jaguar F-Pace lineup. Its aluminum architecture is lightweight without sacrificing strength. And with room for five, it meets the demands of a more practical lifestyle. Visit Jaguar Albuquerque or call 1-888-691-3854 to experience the F-Pace for yourself. Jaguar, the art of performance.
Car won't start? Call Car ER. Need your ride fixed right and at a fair price the first time? Call Car ER. When your vehicle needs help, even if it's not an emergency, call Car ER for complete auto and truck service. Locally owned and family operated, providing top quality service that is customer focused with professionalism and expertise. Teacher, military, and law enforcement discounts with pickup and delivery. 9620 Eagle Ranch Road, just south of Cottonwood Mall. Call 792-1242. Car-ER.net.
Jethro Tull by Ian Anderson. Saturday, May 27th, 8 p.m., Legends Theater inside Route 66 Casino Hotel. The best of Jethro Tull. Tickets on sale now. Visit RT66Casino.com or the Route 66 Casino Hotel Players Club.
Real Estate has a new home at the Albuquerque Journal. Homestyle is a weekly magazine featuring tips and tricks on buying and selling from local real estate professionals. Catch up on the status of the market with local market reports and statistics. Homestyle also contains DIY articles, design ideas, local columns, industry insights, and every open house every weekend. Let us help you find your new home. Pick up this week's copy in the Friday Journal. Homestyle, helping you find home. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And we're coming to you from the Barley Room. That's, yes, the Cess de Mayo Car Show, benefiting the Children's Miracle Network. And, of course, joining the show now is my cohort in crime, my partner, my brother from another mother, Robert Shea. How you doing, Robert?
Well, that's an honor, buddy. Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
That was quite an introduction, huh?
Yeah, it is. I hope I can match its promise there.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, so maybe kind of adjust your body there just a tad. We've got our fourth annual Cess de Mayo Car Show. Can't believe it. Can you believe we've done four of these things?
It's hard to imagine. I remember when we first started, we were just in our infancy, and it seemed like we didn't know where it was going to go, and we found out real quick that it was a success, and it's been a success ever since.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of great cars showing up again. GTO Club's out here. Going to have some race cars with Southwest Motorsports. But talk a little bit about, because we kind of divide tasks on this thing. That's one thing we've always been good at. Talk to me a little bit about when the cars show up, how you kind of go about trying to place it so that, you know, it's kind of an aesthetic and a fun show to walk through.
Well, it always helps to know a little bit about in advance, like you said, who's coming. So consequently, we want to disperse the cars within the confines where you have to, you know, you walk through one to get to the other and that's the other types of cars it is, and that works really, really well so far. With sometimes you mix the the race cars with the show cars, and the show cars want to be mixed with the trucks, and because they have friends that come, so
right.
Sometimes there's a little bit of a challenge, but generally Everybody seems to get a spot. It's a really nice venue up there. If people haven't been up to the Barley Room up on Spain in Eubank, which is where it's, you know, we've had it for the last 4 years, it's a very neat parking lot. It's got shade. It's, you know, there's a lot going on. And, so, you know, when they get there, they'll see what we've got. You can look over the whole lot practically in one spot. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Motiva is going to have, a car. Car Crafters has a couple of, Mustangs out today. They always support the show. Great support. And of course, the Barley Room does such a good job with the craft beer and the food and everything. But it's, you know, it's the support of all the sponsors that help us actually, raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. And of course, Rockin' Rob, is beginning spinning the tunes. You can come out, make a donation, for Rob. He's got a special fundraiser he's working on. Hopefully we can help him get all the way there, on today's show. But we're also got, our, People's Choice. You can come out, you can buy a ticket, you can vote on that. And we've got a special prize with that, from the Unser Racing Museum. I'm not going to announce it. I want you to come out and check it out. But let me tell you, it is awesome. And of course, weather permitting, we're going to inflate the Cocoa Bird balloon. But, every year we try and bring something more to that. And that was one thing that you've been saying since the beginning. Cause of course, this started with the, brunch balloon and badass cars. And we were always trying to get a balloon out here. And we finally got one out in May. And of course, just had Mike on a little bit, but, talk a little bit about, you know, trying to add one extra thing to the show every year.
Well, and you're always the promoter, consummate promoter, and you covered a lot of bases there with our sponsors, and that was one of the things that, you know, that I believe that has made it good is because our sponsors. But, you know, sometimes, again, like you said, you try to bring in something different as many times as you can. I think one year we had Rush Truck had brought in all of their big equipment and made it really very interesting. That made it a real interesting show. So not only did you see cars, but you have to say the latest in industrial equipment, trucks, big trucks and tractors and stuff that they brought. I thought was pretty neat. This year, like you mentioned already, we've got the balloon. He's going to set up in the parking lot there. Of course, weather permitting, we always have to say that about balloons because they're very dependent on that and for safety. Of course, it's all about safety. But I think the kids, you know, the fact that we have the Children's Miracle Network as our prime, you know, the charity that we're working for, I think the balloon is going to really, really add a whole bunch to that. And if you haven't seen a balloon tethered in a park in the middle of the city in the parking lot before, this would be the perfect chance to come out and see the cars and the balloons and the Barley Room, which is what you mentioned. That was in our initial thought when we started that was to have balloons, brunch, and badass cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about the sponsors, and of course, you know, Napa and the Napa Auto Care. Yearwood, of course, is participating in. They always have a show award. ABQ Dragway got some dragway tickets that we're going to be giving out as door prizes and stuff. And they're not running until 6 p.m. tonight, so you got time to do both. But the other thing is, The custom trophies. I mean, people love the trophies. Mild to Wild with those laser cut steel trophies. Acosta's all about trophies, and of course, Print Express always being our print sponsor, so that we keep the cost like way down on this. It's just $20 to come out and show. Also, if you want to just come out, and make a donation, and walk around, it's free to the public, and so it doesn't cost you anything to come look at these cars. But if you want to do something for the UNM's Children's Hospital or the Children's Miracle Network. You know, it's a great opportunity. 12 different divisions. You've got your Monte Carlo out. So tell us a little bit about the Monte Carlo.
Well, we're going to call it a work in progress. I think everybody's show car is a work in progress, or the car that they're proud of is a work in progress, because you're always trying to improve it. But in this particular case, we've got it pretty down, refined down, and to where it's very dependable and it looks good. You know, we always want to do more to it, but yeah, we're going to bring it out. It's going to be its debut this year. And like I say, that'll be a first edition, and we'll have a second and a third probably as time goes on.
Awesome. And you know, it's always been a pleasure, to work with you, your grandson, Kian, Of course, Didi, we finally had to, you know, had to cut her loose because she would come out. But this is such a family thing. You bring your family out. And I want to give some extra love to Kian because he puts up with so much between you and me and the little, you know, the little, like, squabbles you and I get in sometimes.
Yeah.
And the poor guy's got to, like, you know, figure out, okay, well, who's in charge right at the moment? But I tell you that one of the things that because of our background and because of the, you know, working together at the track and the racing background, it's really great to see the number of race cars that, are out here today. You know, open wheel car, got a Porsche 914 race car, and Southwest Motorsports came out and they've set up a little booth, or they're in the process of setting it up right now. And of course, you know, our kind of the thing that everybody knows it's our show is when we kick off the show with the national anthem, and it's just always been a special part of our show with so many of the car guys, you know, being former military, and I hope that they appreciate we're doing something for the children this year, because quite often, you know, we're actually raising money for the military. But I got to tell you, what do you think is like the hardest group to judge that comes out to our shows?
Well, and there's a lot, but the custom vehicles. The custom vehicles seem to be the hardest to judge because each one of them has got a certain personality behind the build. And it of course, that has to do with the vision of the car owner. And each time that we look at one, this one's got an add-on, or that one has a different add-on, or color schemes, or, I mean, some of the cars are exactly the same car, but you wouldn't know that by just walking up and looking at them. I mean, we have Roadsters and Bucket T's, and we have custom station wagons, and,
yep,
and those are really, really hard to put into, you know, to quantify as to how good or bad they are and who's the best. But a lot of times, and you talked about the best of show and some of the things that we have going on today, some of those things, they come out. They you know, the people are the spectators, the people we come and look at the cars, they're actually the smarter ones, and they figure it out for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes they figure that out for us.
Well, and I know every year they're always trying to figure out how we actually get this done. And they don't understand that, you know, we kind of have secret shoppers and, you know, different professionals that kind of roll by. They don't stay the whole time. So nobody's actually figured out, how to bribe a judge, how to rig this thing yet, which is the one thing. Plus, we try and make sure that everybody remembers that this is about having fun. This is not about, a professional jury show. We've got some people that know nothing about cars that participate in the judging. And so it kind of helps level that out. Well, hey, Robert, one heck of a job again. Show looks great. Really appreciate you joining me this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for all the love you show me and my family, and I feel the same for you and all of our people that helped through the show to produce this show. And it's an honor. And I've told you this many times before. You're the one that brings me to it, and thanks for always bringing me along. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you, Robert. All right, we got a whole lot more coming up in the show, but we're going to invite you to come out to the Barley Room Show here at Eubank in Spain. It's the Sesta Mayo Car Show. It's our fourth annual. Can't believe it. But going on today until 2:00. If you get here at 2:05, we're probably going to be gone, just to let you know that. But there's a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
The 2017 Swing for a Cure Golf Tournament benefiting the ALS Association and the Bud Nielsen Memorial is signing up teams now. Morning and afternoon flights are available for Monday, May 22nd at the Tanawan Country Club. Sponsorships are also available from corporate to whole sponsors with various levels to fit your budget. Presented by Petrie Buick GMC, Access Financial Group, Results Massage, and Acme Iron and Metal. Register your team or sponsor today at 323-6348 or alsanm.org. Get out and swing for a cure.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
Music, barbecue, and recreation collide this Memorial Day at Ski Apache's Wind Rider Mountain Festival. More than 25 jam, funk, bluegrass, rock, and folk bands. A sanctioned Kansas City Barbecue Society Master Series competition. Camping, hiking, mountain biking, zip lining, and more. WindRiderMusicFest.com.
Celebrate all the moms in your life this Mother's Day with an extra sweet gift from Edible Arrangements. Our favorites, the Mother's Day Swizzle Bouquet with yum-worthy pineapple daisies and colorful swizzle berries, and the Mother's Day Berries featuring mouth-watering chocolate-covered strawberries, all in a pretty gift box. With so many seriously tasty gifts to choose from, you'll surely make your mom's day. The best part? Edible Arrangements is delivering all Mother's Day weekend. Visit Edible Arrangements, 4770 Montgomery, just west of San Mateo, or call 888-0100. That's 888-0100.
Daniels Heating and Air Conditioning is a locally owned and operated company, and no matter what the forecast is, the temperature in your home or business will be perfect. Daniels customer service is unmatched. Daniels specializes in repairs, maintenance, and replacement for both residential and commercial. When you have a heating or air conditioning issue, you can always count on and trust Daniels for round-the-clock service. Daniels offers solutions at a price you can afford with two locations in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. We are here for you.
Do you have a lot of conflict in your relationship? If so, researchers at UNM Health Sciences Center and MRN would like to talk to you. We are looking for married or cohabitating couples, ages 21 to 45, to participate in a research study examining couples and their relationship conflict. The study involves three sessions, and you may drink alcohol in one or two sessions. Couples can earn $200 for participating. Please call 272-9538 for more information. That's 272-9538.
Incredible views, stunning sunsets, historic adobe decor. It's the Prairie Star Restaurant and Wine Bar starting their 31st year on the beautiful Santa Ana Pueblo, a true New Mexico treasure. It's Wednesday Wine and Dine. Two dine for $60 includes a bottle of wine. Or Prime Rib Thursdays, a 10-ounce chef's cut with a glass of house red, just $30 per person. Make your reservations today, 867-3327 or PrairieStarRestaurant.com. It's the Prairie Star Restaurant and Wine Bar, a true New Mexico treasure.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Of course, invite you to come out this morning. Starting up real soon here at 9 o'clock is the Seis de Mayo car show out at the Barley Room, which is at Eubank and Span. A lot of great cars already showing up, and it's going to be awesome. But, hey, check your calendars. Starting at 6 o'clock tonight, actually, gates open. It's the Yearwood Take It Street to the Strip out at ABQ Dragway. Of course, make sure you go by and you pick up your latest copy of the 2017 ABQ Dragway schedule at a Yearwood Performance, either on the west side or on the east side. Or, of course, you can go to abqdragway.com and pick it up. And, of course, talking drag racing, since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been your home for go-fast parts, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Hey, you got engine plumbing problems? They got all the hoses and fittings you need, all different sizes, different colors, everything you need. Of course, they also have the car capsule so they can keep your ride clean while you're working on your other projects. It's New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance, 341 Eubank or 9674 Eagle Ranch Road. And, of course, they're open on Sundays on the west side. Buy local, save time and money, YearwoodPerformance.com. Hey, joining the show, special treats, Bob Brown. How you doing this morning, Bob?
I'm doing great. Look, if I'm going to get up early on a Saturday morning, one of the reasons would be to talk racing, so I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, and I hope you make it out to the car show. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But first, I want to talk to you about yesterday and driving some tractors over at Four Rivers. Got some shots of you in that enjoying both the skid steer and then, of course, had you on the excavator. I mean, yeah. What was it? Was that just like the ultimate big kid, little kid moment?
Well, they said go big or go home. And I didn't want to go home. I was like, I'm here. I want to do this. So thank John Snyder, the owner out there at Four Rivers, to invite me to come out and do that. And it was cool. You know, I wish I could just get in one of those things and have it go from your mind to your fingertips and operate it. But you're thinking so hard trying to remember which lever does what.
Right.
But getting in there and kind of getting a feel for it, man, the power, moving some dirt around, it was pretty cool. I'd never driven anything like that before.
Well, I know that you know, you always remind me that you're one of the champions on the celebrity day out at Sandia Speedway. One of these days we're going to have to go out and go mano a mano and see if you retain that.
As long as they give me the faster car.
Right.
Like they did with Michael Waltrip when he came out. They made sure he got the fast car.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had the Napa car.
Yeah.
So at least he had all the right parts
exactly.
on it. So that was fantastic. But I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Of course, month of May. So, of course, we're talking about the Indy 500. And I know you're a big Formula One fan. And we'll talk a little Formula One in a minute. But let's first talk about Fernando Alonso coming over. And I read recently he was saying kind of the lack of complicated technology in some ways is making IndyCar a little more enjoyable than Formula One. What's your thoughts on that? Is there a little slap in there, or what's he trying to say?
I don't think so. I think he's just looking at the car, getting in it and realizing there's not as many controls and every knobs and dials you got to deal with like you do in a Formula One car. I thought it was interesting, though. He races at Abu Dhabi. He basically breaks down late in that race. He flies to the United States, goes to Birmingham for the weekend. Then he flies to Sochi for the Russian Grand Prix, and he doesn't even get a lap in there. His car basically breaks down on the parade lap. That's a lot of miles for not racing a whole lot, you know, over a two-week period there. So everybody's talking about him racing at Indy. He's got to qualify. I know he's going to get great equipment with Michael Andretti, but he's got to qualify for that thing. And, you know, you get out there and you put one of those cars in the wall. Next thing, you're second-guessing yourself maybe a little bit. You got to go out there. The pressure is on. Four laps to get in. Not saying he's not going to get in, but let's see what he does out there. Practice this month. And then when he actually qualifies to get into the race. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, everybody that I've talked to, all the race car drivers that we've had a chance to talk to over the years going out to the track, they say all four of those turns are different. It's not just simply a super speedway in every single turn. Is the same. Every turn at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is a little bit different. It takes a long time to get the skills to maneuver through each of those four turns on a 2.5 mile track. So it's not like he's just going to jump in the seat and, you know, set a track record, but he's a great driver. So I'll be curious to see what his speeds are, just how quick it takes him to settle into that car.
Does it bring a little more interest for you to watch the 500?
Of course it does for me, because he's a Formula One guy, right? And
right.
He wants to win at all the different types of racing, and this is one of them. He wants to win the 24 hours of Le Mans, and he wants to win the Indy 500. He's won that other prestigious race,
right.
The Monaco race, which he's not going to be racing in this year because that, of course, is Memorial Day weekend, same day as the Indy 500. So, of course, I think everybody, I think all these Formula One guys are probably a little jealous as well that he gets a chance to go to the famed Ricciard.
Who do you think's going to finish better? Is Button going to do better coming back and running in Monaco, or is Alonso going to do better at the 500?
I would think Alonso at the Indy 500 probably. You know, the field, 33 cars, more chances and opportunities with the equipment and the ride he's going to be in to pass cars, to get up there, be on that lead lap. If you're not, you know, front two or three rows in Formula One, it's going to be a long day, and you're just basically driving around the streets of Monaco.
What are your thoughts of Ferrari this year? I mean, they really look like they're ready to play. And then, of course, you have the winner last week. You know, I mean, the new
Valtteri Bottas. He comes through with a big time win.
Yeah.
It makes it interesting for Formula One fans, because if you're a Ferrari fan, Sebastian Vettel gets a couple of wins. You're feeling like, okay, it's going to be him, Lewis Hamilton. It's going to be head to head. Ferrari's going to be able to compete. Trying to think of his teammate.
Oh, you talking about Vettel? Räikkönen.
Right, yeah. How can I forget Kimi Räikkönen?
Kimi Räikkönen, yeah.
You think, okay, it's going to be Ferrari. They're going to have a chance to maybe team up and have a chance to attack Lewis Hamilton and knock Mercedes off their pedestal there. And all of a sudden now Valtteri Bottas is in the mix. So that makes it even that much more interesting. But it kind of gives Lewis Hamilton somebody to look at instead of just the Ferrari guy. He's got his teammate to look at.
Well, and that was a tremendous start. I mean, he goes around the outside, takes both the Ferraris. I mean, Ferrari got the front row in Sochi, and it looks like it was going to be a great battle. But I think that the season's really stacking up. What's another amazing thing is I can't believe that it's the 25th anniversary of Allender Jr.'s first win. And I know with Channel 7 that you get to go out to a lot of those races. I mean, what was it like, you know, to be there for that race?
I wasn't there for that race. I wasn't there for the 92 race. But I will tell you a story. The first time I met Allender Jr., I'm coming from back east, and I moved here in 1990, started working at Channel 7, and I didn't really know the Unsers were here until I got here, and I was a race fan before then. and get a chance to meet. I'm going to meet Alan Thru Jr. I go over to the Gallus Racing shop over there near the Big Eye where they had it, and they said Al Jr.'s coming by in a little bit. I'm like, man, this is great. I'm getting to meet Al Jr., really? And he comes rolling up, and he's in a big Chevy Suburban or something. And he comes rolling up, and he stops the car, and it starts smoking. I mean, the whole engine just starts smoking. And I'm thinking, what kind of car is this dude driving, man? He's in this big Chevrolet Suburban-looking thing, you know, and he comes up, and it's like the engine's about to blow up on him.
All right.
That was my first introduction to Al Unser Jr.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, that was the Galmer
that
they built in 92, and nobody really expected that thing to compete and much less win the race.
Right.
And they just went out there, and he was steady, consistent lap after lap. Next thing you know, things fall his way, and then he's hanging on for those last three, four laps where Scott Goodyear's just, you know, chasing him down. You're wondering, can he hold him off? Can he hold him off? And sure enough, 43 one-thousandths of a second.
Yeah.
One of the closest finished ever at Indy. And Junior said after the race that his butt didn't touch the seat for three laps. He was
right.
Just standing on the gas the whole time, and had it not been for the seat belts holding him down, he may have come out of that car. But that was a great day. And then to turn around 2 years later and get the ride with Penske and win his second of his two Indy 500s 2 years later in 94. That was pretty cool. But yeah, to have the guys that we knew, those pit members, all of those guys over at Gallus Racing, and to see what they were able to do and, you know, bring the trophy back here to Albuquerque. And years later, I was able to go to Vegas to Junior's house, and he had two of the little Borg Warner trophies,
right?
You know, the replicas,
the mini
of the trophies, and had those in his house. They're in like a nice little velvet box case, you know, that he wanted to break out to show me. But it was cool. Those are good times going to Indianapolis.
What has been, like, your best experience at a professional race? I mean, what's the best one you've ever seen or covered?
Just going to Indy. I don't know, cover a race. Trying to think of the guy's name, but he won two Indy 500s now. Just a couple of years ago, he won a second one. 2001, when he won his first one. Former the one guy.
Are you talking about Nigel Mansell?
No.
But
name skipped me.
Yeah.
Oh, he just won a couple of years ago for his second one. He was like the longest tenure between two wins.
Dario Franchitti? No, he didn't run.
No. But,
yeah, I mean, man, we're both getting old because we're like, you know, like missing all these things.
I just can't remember the guy's name. I could see it now because I was down on the starting grid before the race down there as all the guys are getting strapped into the cars. And before he got put in his car, he came walking by me and I was taking a picture. I had my little camera out, you know, I was going to snap a picture. And he looked at me like, what are you taking my picture for? And his girlfriend, you know, they're walking to the car.
Right.
And I have that picture today. I still have that picture today.
Wow. You know? Wow. Well, I know you're an off-road guy. So, you know, I mean, did you ever go down to the Baja and you watch the Baja races?
I did. I went to the Baja 1000. I, growing up in San Diego, my dad, who was a former Marine, he was a Marine at that time, a bunch of the Marine officers, families, we'd all load up our four-wheel drive trucks and put boats on top of the trucks, and we'd go down Baja. We'd go way down hundreds of miles south of the border, and one time we went down to the Baja 1000, went down there. It started in Tecate, so we were there the night before the race, and we decided we would go 60 miles or so south of the start line and then watch the cars and the motorcycles all come flying by us. So got down there, got set up camp, set up right next to this nice little jump area where if they were going to have speed, they would get airborne. So we set up our camp right next to that, and it was, I mean, literally 60 miles down the road, and it wasn't long after they started the race, 60 motorcycles go off first.
Wow.
In 1 minute intervals. So we're 60 miles down the course. A handful of motorcycles came by, and then the first big, you know, trophy trucks came by. And then I'll never forget Parnelli Jones came flying by. He ended up winning the race that year. He rolled his Bronco three times on the way to winning the race. And so, you know, it was cool to see him. Years later, a few years ago, I met Parnelli Jones. He was in town at the Unser Race Museum. He's signing his new book was out, and the Unsers invited me to come over there and meet him. And I went over there, and I told him the story of being down there, about 60 miles south of Tecate, the race, and I was standing on the side of the road. Do you remember me when you came flying by at 100 miles an hour? And he said, yeah, I think I do. Weren't you the guy that pulled your pants down and shot me a moon down there on the side of the road? I said, well, no, that wasn't me. But he was just having a fun time with
it.
But that was pretty cool because we actually traveled the road of the Baja 1000 because that, you know, you're on that road. There's
right.
A lot of times there's not places to get out of the way, and you have these racers coming up on you, and you've always had to be prepared to kind of find a spot to pull out of the way because they're in a hurry.
Right.
And you're out in the middle of nowhere, and sometimes there's nowhere to get out of the way. And so
right. It
can be somewhat of a cluster, but that is a cool race. I hadn't been down there for years because it's just, you know, it's changed a lot over the years. But what you would have is you'd have a lot of the Mexican fans would be set up down there, and they'd set up early in the morning. And what they would do is they would create obstacles for the racers. So they would set up where they would make the road detour and go where they wanted it to go. And they would build traps and things like that where it would look like it's just a regular road. Next thing you know, it's a gully, it's a wash. And they would try to catch these drivers, you know, out of sorts where they were coming down there and, you know, you're 600 miles into a race and fatigue is setting in and you come up to something, there's a detour. And next thing you know, your car's in a ditch because they're having fun with you and they're trying to get these race car drivers to have accidents, basically is what they're trying to do. And people may not know, but you know, a race like the Baja 1000, these drivers, these race teams, they go down there ahead of time and they do the course several times in pre-runners, the trucks they use just to do the course, just to check it out. And they write down where all the turns are, all the hairy spots on the course, where they may be in trouble, where they can really, you know, get some time made up and all those kind of things. And then if you go down there enough, you know which of the villages, these small little cities on the course, which ones are known, notorious for having big time parties and creating obstacles for the drivers on the course.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
That's absolutely insane. A lot of things I've seen, but I haven't seen that. But, hey, really appreciate you coming on. It's always great to get you on. I mean, we'd see you almost every day. You would talk a little bit, but it's great to have you on the show. So I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
I love it, man. You know me. I'll talk racing anytime. I love it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's another edition of the New Mexico Motorsports Report.